This is the M6P episode 133 with your host Andy Kirby
and Jared Mayo.
Jared Mayo, back-to-back episodes. What are we even thinking? Can we keep the pace?
We can keep the pace. We're men. We're manly men. Men in tights.
Do you like that film?
It was okay. It was good. How about you?
Yeah, I do. I remember going to my grandmother's house, and that was one of the only VHS. That one and The Edge, the one with the bear and Odin.
No, I'm lost.
There was a movie about like a plane crash that had Anthony Hopkins in it and Alec Baldwin and the guy from Lost and The Matrix, Michael, right? Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a bear and he was fighting Odin, you know, because Anthony Hopkins.
I was like, you watched a movie when you were a kid where a bear fought Odin? Like, okay, I think Odin wins.
It was live action, man. Yeah, so anyway, that was a movie, Gumby on VHS, and then also Men in Tights.
Wow. The Men in Tights, we did that in high school. We did that song in show choir.
So are you serious?
Yeah, that we were in tights and everything. It was so random. It didn't fit with the show at all. It was very strange.
That's amazing. I would pay to see that.
Like, you go from Ricky Martin to now we're in Men in Tights and then end with NSYNC Bye Bye Bye. What is going on here?
I think you were being conditioned with that lineup.
I think there were, I don't know. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to keep it there. You never know who's listening, right?
Yeah, that is true. Yes, I got texts after last episode about knuckle biting and hair pulling.
Well, yes, we used to think that our podcast was just small, but we're huge now.
Obviously.
It's like Joe Rogan, then the M6P.
Clearly, that's where that's where we land on that. Yes,
we'll get you, Joe.
We'll catch up somehow. Yeah, you know, Spotify is knocking on the door for an exclusive. You know, they lost him on his exclusive contract, but they want the M6P for sure.
That would be great. That would be great. We'd probably have to make a lot of changes, but hey, we do it for the money.
I mean, we're brand safe, right?
I think we do a good job. I think we cover lots of random things, but we show our love of Marvel, and that's what our people want. They want to hear these two screwballs talking about rando things and then how much they love Marvel. And that's right. What we are.
Exactly. Do you have any random stories for me since we recorded?
Random stories? I feel like I'm put on the spot. I would have written
something. Okay, all right. So I got one while you're thinking about one, okay?
Yeah.
Normally, this is the catching up. We got to catch up, but not much has happened since we last talked. I mean, there's some things I don't know if you want to talk about. I forgot to ask you, but I'll leave that to you. Here's one, okay? There was a giant snowstorm over here in Pennsylvania. Now, you over in Ohio, I don't want to give away where you are, but in Ohio, you're used to these snowstorms. I am not. So it was really wet snow, and it actually knocked down a couple of different trees, and our neighbors are not home. They kind of hightail it for the winter down south. I'll be not as specific if anybody's casing their place. But there was a tree across the road, across their driveway, and their driveway's pretty long. So I was walking with Jackie, and this was like right before she fell like very ill and couldn't get out of bed.
Oh, I thought she fell. I thought you were going to say she fell. Like she fell.
No. That part is coming. Yeah. So like, I'm like, hey, this is this tree is more than just a lopper tree. I got to go get the saw, right? The handsaw. So I go get the saw and we're still talking and we're talking about something serious that I probably shouldn't forget we were talking about, but I forget what we were talking about. it was a serious conversation. And so she's talking to me, I'm talking to her, and the whole time I'm sawing. And it's one of those trees that has like two main branches coming up. Like those are your main logs. If you were to do log splitting, it would come from these. So I'm sawing on one of them, right? So yeah. I get to the part where I'm like, okay, it's pinching the saw. Let me move. I don't know how many trees you've sawn.
Yes, too many to count.
Okay, I'm sure. So, so I'm pushing on it to crack it. And stupidly, I did not think ahead. And it's horizontal. It's on the ground. There's two main branches. One of them is about chest high. And the other one is about probably shin high. Well, they are not even. They are the uneven parallel bars of this tree, okay? And so it breaks, and everything starts happening in slow motion. I'm facing Jackie. I see her. It cracks, and suddenly the trunk of the tree tumbles in slow motion, pushes me backwards because, you know, gravity, and then it knocks me over because my foot hits. My heel hits the trunk of the other part, and then it rolls and hits my thighs, the one that is landing, and then slams down on my leg, trapping my leg between the two trunks. And all I can think about as I'm watching Jackie's face is, wow, she's not reacting. Wow, she's not reacting. Wow, she's like in slow motion, you know, like, and then finally, when I'm on the ground and I can't get free on my own, that's when she looks in surprise and comes running to help me. I blame it on she was not feeling well. And so her reaction time was not sharp. But I was like, what would have do you know what you would have done if I had broken my leg? Because it hit my leg in two different places. It didn't crush it in one. You know what I mean? Like one was pressing down, one was pressing up.
Yeah.
So she looked at me. She was like, I don't know. I'd go get the truck and put you in there. I was like, the truck's really high. Like, I don't know if I had a broken leg, if I could get into that. She was like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to be bruised, but I'm okay. She was like, all right.
Andy, ouch.
But I'm all right. I'm okay. Yeah, I'm still a man. I'm a manly man.
You well, yeah. So you have both legs. That's positive.
Yeah, right. Yes. And not one of them is broke. I really like because of the slow motion and me, I thought like, oh my word, I'm going to break this leg just in half. I'm going to be lucky if it's not like a compound fracture with the femur, or not the femur, but the one of the bones. I forget if it's the tibia. Is that in your arm? No, that's the radius and ulna, right? I don't know. Fibula and tibia?
I'm just going to let you roll, man.
Okay. Anyway, that's what happened to me. It was fun playing in the snow.
Where were the children? Isn't that why you had children, was for them to do this kind of dangerous stuff?
They were sledding down the neighbor's hill. So, like, they weren't even paying attention.
Oh, man. Got to get them kids working, cutting up trees so dad doesn't die.
I know, right? Crazy, crazy kids.
They're bringing they're contributing no income to this family.
None whatsoever.
To do is cut trees.
Ugh, income. Ugh, have you started on your taxes yet? Oh my word. Andy,
that is a bad word. We don't say that. No, I have not. Have you?
I did my federal, I think, but I have two states to file, and then I got like a county or something. I don't even know what counties are. And then I got to do my two daughters.
No, you don't. They got to do them. Get them children to learn.
If they pay me to do theirs and then they have zero income for the year, I mean, do I really have to file it?
I don't know. I'm not the tax guy, even a little bit.
Yeah. So anyway, that was, I don't know. Pennsylvania's crazy.
Oh, and then do you have to do stuff for Africa?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. Africa, I mean,
doesn't want your taxes.
I still have a bank account over there because they wouldn't let me close it out in time, but I'm sure it's like 50 cents.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But I have to declare it like on the US, are you on, you know, do you have any foreign bank accounts? So I got to put the bank account and how high, like what the balance is. I have no idea what the balance is. It's cents.
I'm like, well, he's got 50 cents. We're going to need some of that.
I'm going to go ahead and say I need at least 20% of that 50 cents.
Yes. Why you need that, I don't know. You didn't do anything to earn it, but that's maybe a topic for another show. I don't know.
That's downright anti-American there, Jared Mayo.
Ah, is it though? I remember our forefathers were not all about being taxed to death. And I remember there was a little riot we threw when our tea got taxed. Now everything gets taxed and we're like, eh. It's American.
Do you have our property tax over here? I was watching the news inside of a restaurant, a to-go restaurant facility where they give you food after you order and you bring it home. And they somebody,
thank you for explaining that. I wasn't sure what that was.
It's been a while since I've been in one of those. So they voted, one of the counties around here voted to have property taxes be 15%.
Oh, that's sick.
I immediately looked at my phone. I was like, do I live in that county? And no, I don't.
Oh, gosh. That's terrible.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts.
I don't know. I can't get on a TED Talk about this because I won't be able to stop.
So anything going on with you?
Oh, well, I'm about ready to take a trip. California is calling my name.
Nice. Do some
work out there. So I wanted to take Jennifer with me, but it's a work trip, so I'll be working. So it's not one of those, oh, you know, I'll just be gone for a couple hours, then we can go paint the red. It's no, I'll be working the whole time. So she decided not to come and just sit in a hotel because I'm definitely not going to let her roam California by herself.
No, I mean, she'd be picking up guys left and right. I mean, not because of who she is, because of how she looks.
Well, I was thinking I didn't want her, you know, murdered or robbed. Something like that.
No.
It's California. Sorry to our four people from California that might listen to us.
I don't know. Murdered or robbed. I mean, she might be socialized, you know, like they might, you might like end up sharing all the pocket change that she has.
They might tax her while she's out there walking. Oh, yeah, yeah. But no, that's what we got going on.
So can I ask you, like, are you going to get your own room?
That is to be determined. I'm meeting with my boss tomorrow.
Okay. And you're going to double down and ask him again?
Yeah. No, he's great. So if you listen to the podcast before, you know, I don't really share rooms with people very well. Like, I could share a room with my wife and with Andy and with my friend Nathan and probably my friend Ken. Other than that, I don't really think there are a lot of people I could share a room with. I just can't.
You think that you and I could share a room? But like, that's high praise.
Oh, no doubt. Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah, like, I just have to feel really comfortable with someone to share a room with them because I want to be able to relax and not have to be on. And I can only feel that way with so many people. So my boss is awesome. He is just, he's great. But if I'm sharing a room with my boss, I'm working. You know, like, oh, I'd like to go back and rest. No, you're on. You are watching your P's and Q's and making sure everything you say goes with the company and like da 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 da. And I can't. I have to be by myself. So, and the last time I went on a trip, we were supposed to share a room, and he agreed. He talked to his boss, and so I got my own room. I was sick as a dog. I was up all night long, coughing. He would have fired me and hated me because I would have kept him up. So it's almost like a "see, told you so." You need to let me have my own room.
This is on this trip. I'm going to go to West Africa. I'm driving with he's a friend of mine, but he's my subordinate. We're driving 8 hours, and then after a few days, we have to drive over to Benin, and I don't know how long that is. I think it's like 5 hours, and then we have to drive back, and then another 8 hours. So we're going to be spending some quality time in the car.
Oh, Andy, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, and then we're going with another family over to the Ivory Coast, but he's still going to be with us. So poor guy.
Well, maybe you need to... He's worked with you before, though, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you don't have to like haze him or anything.
No. Okay. He's much smarter than I am, and he has way more experience. So no, I would not be doing that.
Well, I mean, you could anyways. It's 8 hours. At least have a good time with it.
Right. Oh, man, this is the M6P, a comic book podcast. You can email us at m6pllc@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook. We got the Twitters. I know I'm stepping all over what you do. I forget what I do. Go to our website, them6p.com.
Yeah, no, basically just check out all the socials is my part. We're on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. We don't do a whole lot on Twitter and Instagram, but YouTube and Facebook we definitely have a presence. You can look us up under the M6P. We just cracked 7,000 followers. That was really exciting. And we're currently doing a lot of X-Men retro recap episodes on YouTube that we'd love to have you check out. And if you'd like to be a part of the show, if you'd like to interact with us, we'd love to 755-TINA and leave us a message with questions, comments, concerns, all that fun stuff. We'd love to hear from you. 616-755-TINA.
Yeah, that'd be great. And we are sponsored by CRPSavings.com, Community Retail Partnership. It is a Office Depot, Office Max purchasing, power purchasing program. If you want collective bargaining, if you want discounted prices, if you're a tax-exempt organization, let us know. Reach out to us or go to CRPSavings.com and sign up. The best way is reach out to us. We'll get in touch with our dedicated Office Depot, Office Max individual representative. Basically, they can get you purchasing power level pricing on anything you need, especially when you're talking about photocopies, print jobs. If you're talking about paper, paper is a commodity that goes up and down all the time, but they have better prices than everybody else. You can have your own dedicated username and log in to their business side website, which is better than the retail side. And so, yeah, just let us know. It's like a nominal fee. It's like maybe $30 for a lifetime membership.
I thought they did away with the fee.
Okay. It's free. Yeah. So let us know. I know that my organization just signed up for CRP, and they are really actually thrilled because they're going to be having a whole lot of savings. We had a budget crunch this year. They're really looking at a lot of stuff and, you know, kind of in a recovery growth year as far as their investments and all that kind of stuff. So they really wanted to tighten the budget. This is actually going to really help them tighten the budget. So if your organization is in the same boat, reach out to us, reach out to me or Jared or email m6plsc@gmail.com, and we will get you in touch with the right people. That is CRPSavings.com.
That sounds great. We're also sponsored by MichaelWebSolutions.com. They are an SEO company. So if you want to get your website showing up in Google, if you want to figure out how to best optimize your business, your Facebook ads, all that kind of fun stuff, check out MichaelWebSolutions.com. And then lastly, we're also sponsored by ourselves. We run the MarvelousBox.com. You can check that out at the MarvelousBox.com. Marvelous Box is a blind box subscription service for graphic novels, all Marvel, all new, nothing used, over $100 worth of Marvel graphic novels shipped right to your front door every quarter for $25.
All right, well, wrapping that up and moving on to our issue this week. Yes, we will be doing one issue this week. It's been out a couple weeks, but we wanted to make sure that we touched on this because I'm a sucker and I love Spider-Man. And not only that, I love to gripe about Spider-Man. So we are doing Edge of Spider-Verse number one.
Edge of Spider-Verse number one. I remember when we saw these images. Hi, Darren helps us run our YouTube and our Facebook. He's kind of the third partner in the M6P. We all have our different roles, and Darren does pretty much everything but the podcast. And he saw the preview images and posted these and just could not believe what he saw. He was not a fan of this cover.
Okay. All right. So Edge of Spider-Verse number one, it's subtitled Weapon 8, and then featuring Spider-Bite. So this is basically what you got here with all the other Spider-Verse titles. You know, the intro books, you have a little bit of background story. Some of them take a story per comic. Some of them have this and they have three stories per comic. It just depends what they feel the market can sustain. This one, I mean, we can walk through it. It's got three stories. The first one is about Weapon 8. The second one is about Spider-Bite. And the third one is Miguel O'Hara, Spider-Man 2099, kind of like setting it all up at the end. I'll walk through the first story and then we can quickly talk about what we liked and what we didn't like about this. Okay.
Okay.
Now you read it, right?
I did read it. I read the whole thing.
The whole thing. Okay. Okay. All right.
The whole thing.
Okay. So the cover is by Harden and Delgado. I love Delgado. I'm a sucker. So I like Delgado, but we have a lot of, creative artists here and writers. So for Weapon 8, which the story is actually called New Toys. It's by Colin Kelly and Jackson Lansing. Those are the writers. Travel Foreman is the artist. And then Brian Reber is the color artist. Not the colorist, but the color artist. And then you have VC's Joe Caramagna. What is that? How do you say that?
Joe C, period.
Joe C. This dude's been around forever. I'm so sad that I can't say his name. He's been around forever. So, and then you have, with the spider bite, you have Nyla Magruder, Eric Gapster, Frank Darmata, and then Joe again, Joe C. And then for Spider-Man 2099, Alex Segura and Salvador LaRocca, Guru FX, and Joe. Again. So, all right. Any comments on that? Any comments on these creators?
Well, I was surprised that as I was reading it, it's like, this is LaRocca's art in 2099. And I jumped to the front cover and he's not mentioned on the front. I feel like LaRocca is a name that would bring the boys to the yard, you know?
Bring the boys to the yard. Is that a... What is that a reference to?
That is from the Milkshake song.
Okay, that's what I thought. I believe that the only reason I know that song is the movie The Big Short. Did you ever watch that?
No, I thought that you guys had that played at your wedding.
No, you're ridiculous. Oh,
my bad.
No, you're right, though. He isn't on here. I wonder why. Maybe he was like, don't mention my name in there. But maybe. Segura is the top billing on this.
Yeah, that's true. Anyways, what did you think of the main story, Andy? Because you're the Spider-Man. Well, let me stop you before you tell me what you think of the main story. Okay. Let's go back to the cover. Did you think that was an alternate version of Cyclops?
Yeah, it looks like Cyclops. It also looks like how people could be laughing at me here, but like, am I stupid? Doesn't it look like X-Man or no?
Yeah, he looks like he's got some white in the front of his hair.
Okay. All right. So yes, it definitely looks like a Spider-Man version of Cyclops, Scott. That's what I thought it was, for sure. Yeah. Especially with the visor and everything. I mean, you got the same color schemes, you got the visor, you know, and then, so I did think that.
And he's hunting Wolverine, so I assumed that this was going to be like an eccentric story in the Spider-Verse. And then when we're thrown the who he really is at the end, like, what? I thought this was Scott Summers.
Right. So we open at Earth 72. Somebody is hunting Weapon X. Wolverine, he's in his naked costume, as we all know. The Weapon
Great
X
for cosplay. Great for cosplay, I might add.
With the wires and everything. Yeah. He's hunting with the wolves. And then Weapon 8, who is like a Spider-Man character, corners him. And then basically... beats him, right? So he stabs him to a tree with his legs. He like just immobilizes him. He makes sure that his the claws can't reach his legs, can't reach his body or anything like that, pins him to a tree, and then he has these little jabber things, and he goes into his body with him that come out of his hands, kind of like Doc and, you know, kind of, I don't know, whatever, kind of like the other, I guess, a long time ago. And he pumps him through of what you think is venom, but he's like, no, it's not venom, it's napalm. And then he lights it and just burns Wolverine from the inside out. And then you come back to a debrief. You find out that these 8 spider leg things that are, or these 4 spider leg things that are basically like Doc Ock, are coming out of his body. They're pretty gross looking. The art is kind of gross. But in the same way, though, like it's kind of cool detailed. I just don't like it's kind of gross. The naked stuff is gross. You know, like, but
is it gross?
It's gross. Okay. The cross hatching and everything. It's just, yeah. So he's talking to Colonel Thompson, which is Flash Thompson, through like a little Spider-Man drone robot thing. And the guy, you don't know who he is. And he's like, hey, what's my name? Because Wolverine or Weapon X was like, hey, you don't even know your name. What's going on? And so he is kind of like asking these questions, like, who am I? What happened to the other weapons? What happened to Weapon 7? All this stuff. And the guys say, oh, you want a name? We'll give you a name. And it says Weapon 1. We got to go after Steve Rogers, Captain America. Now, this is not Earth 616. It's Earth 72. So they pretty much say, you have to go kill Captain America. And then we go to a really disgusting picture of this guy. Weapon 8, who we don't know his name yet, and he's lying in bed, and you see eight eyes, which is just so gross, and then him crawling with his legs through the air ducts, and he goes and he visits Wolverine, who's immobilized, and he's burnt to a crisp on a bed, and he sees the dog tag Logan, and so he's like, oh, this dude had a name, how come I don't have a name? So then he's out on patrol, we see him going against Captain America, and he starts fighting Captain America, and then he purposely starts losing. So Captain America starts being the snot out of him. So basically, it's not a happy Captain America. He's using foul language. He's really playing for keeps here. He's ready to kill this dude. And Weapon 8 is letting him win, and he's getting smashed up and everything, and you see his eyes and his blood, and he's kind of smiling, and basically, the reason why he's letting him win is because he's calling into home base Weapon H or Department H or whatever, and says, you need to tell me my name or else I'm going to lose on purpose, and I'm ready to lose. I'm ready to die. And they are not ready to let him die. And so as things get closer and closer and the shield gets closer and closer down to his face, they finally say, your name is Peter. And then he suddenly grabs the shield as it's coming down on his face. And he says, Peter, I like that. And then the next panel on the next page, he's on the shield and thunk, you have one of the legs right through Captain America's head. Basically, he just killed the dude without a fight. Basically, he could have killed him anytime, it looked like. So then back in his dorm or his barracks or wherever he is, he makes himself a little dog tag that says Peter. That is the end of the first story. Thoughts?
I like this story better than the other two. I thought this was kind of interesting, kind of a cool, fun, throwaway take on the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised to hear you say that.
Did you like it?
I thought it was okay. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was a, like you said, an interesting take. What if Spider-Man was part of the Weapon X program? Like I said several times, I think it's gross. I don't like the eight eyes. I don't like the eight legs. I think the legs are just disgusting. I like the mechanical legs if you're going to do that. But it's a cool concept. And without a name, then who are you? Does that define you? Does your activity, are you defined, or is your activity defined by whether you have a name or not? I thought it was cool fighting Captain America. I think it was a cool way to have a throwaway fight, but make it interesting because it's somebody you care about. But the way to do that is have it on Earth 72, obviously. But I think it puts seeds in the reader's head like, okay, he's not going to stand for this. What is he going to do with this information? I don't think that we're going to see too much else. I think that the reader is going to have to fill in the gaps when they comes to show up in subsequent books. I don't think it's going to pick up right here. But I thought it was cool, a cool way to really infuse him into kind of the lore. And it would be a cool what if story. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I thought they could definitely expand on this and could go a little bit longer with it.
What did you think about the art?
I think it was hit and miss because I definitely, that jumped out to me like, oh, I remember when art like a book like this would have probably gotten a little bit of a more time. It just looked rushed in some places. Some of the cross hatching and stuff seemed a little lazy.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, it didn't have that pristine edge to it, you know? And I think part of that is like, it's supposed to be dirty. It's supposed to be grimy. It's supposed to be like in the shadows, in the barracks and everything. But still, it did kind of look rushed.
Yeah.
So anyway. All right. So the next story, though, has way more of an upbeat cartoon feel. This one, I got to say, is barely worth mentioning.
Oh.
So this is Earth 22-191, and we have, I don't know this character, Kes, whoever, Spider-Bite.
I thought this was the first time we've seen her or something.
No. I think I read at the very end that she might have been even in Across the Spider-Verse.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so Margot Kes. Spider-Bite. So basically, she's an online Spider-Man. So she, you know, logs in, right? I mean, isn't that what it is?
I know. It just sounds even stupider when you say it out loud.
So she fights crime. Like, and this is what I couldn't understand. Like, so on the cover, she kind of has like a cool helmet, but here her hair is sticking out of the helmet and it makes it look way less cool.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, it's just awful. She's online. She goes to an online casino, which apparently is evil because it's preying on stupid people. So an online casino, but then also they give loans, money loans. And so she comes to shut them down. And then she ends up fighting the Shocker, which there is a cool, the art on the Shocker where the Shocker first arrives actually is pretty cool. I thought that was awesome with him in the corner, with the angle looking up and the shading and everything. I thought that was awesome. That's probably the best art in this entire story. But it definitely is an anomaly because the rest of the art is very cartoony. It actually reminded me of New Exiles.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it did. And then she basically she calls her little app Dan and they start depleting all the money that the online casino has made and give it back to all the people who lost it. Which sounds highly illegal. but then she has a line in here. I don't know if you caught this. She said, if you've got to steal, you could steal from people who hoard more than they need. So like, what is the message here? Like,
what do you think the message is, Andy?
She's the good guy and she's advocating stealing from people who have more than they need. And she uses the word hoard because it's a negative connotation. And she says, but this place steals from people who have the least to give. Okay. People who go to an online casino have the least to give. Like, you know, if you have a gambling addiction, obviously you need to seek help. But if you're going to an online casino, that's like a bad decision in life. And that means you can't hold on to your money or you're just in it for the entertainment, you know, whatever. If you have X amount instead of going and seeing a movie, if you want to gamble it away, whatever. I don't care how you spend your money. But by saying like people who use this and make a bad choice have the least to give, which, you know, kind of gets sympathy from the reader. And these people who save money are hoarding it and they have more than they need. By whose standards? Who decides how much you need and how much you don't need? Man, like this is pretty bad. I was blown away by this.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible. This was the worst of the three.
Did that line catch your eye or no?
Yeah, there were a couple of things in it that, let me see if I can even, I don't even know if I can find it again. But reading through it, like, this, I think it just seems like, hey, I'm really cool. Like, I'm a kid and I can have Spider-Man powers and I'm a girl and I can do it better than anybody else, all while having my computer try and get me an A-. Look how cool I am. That's just how I read it. Just, I was annoyed by her the second it showed up. She's eating Pocky sticks and looking like, oh my gosh, I'm so cute being a spider person. I just did not care. It seems like almost too easy. I didn't see any sort of struggle in this. She just knows better and she's the better. It is very much the spider version of Moon Girl or Riri Williams. Like, I can do Iron Man better and I'm Moon Girl and I'm 15 and I'm smarter than everyone else. It's like, what? It just struck me as way out of left field.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't understand why the costume is so much cooler on the cover than in this. Like, it's just the helmet. Like, how is it that much different? Is it because you added words to this and then suddenly we're like, oh, this isn't cool at all.
Yeah.
I can't get off this line. I just can't. She's cheating in class, but it's okay because she is shutting down an online casino and money lending, not even money laundering, money lending, a loan thing. And she's advocating stealing from people who have a lot of money. Don't steal from these people. You can steal, but not these people. Like, steal from someone else. Because that's fine.
Yeah, I think the first story, like, take those pages from this. Let's just have two stories in this. We didn't need this middle one.
No. Oh, it was awful. I was so sad. All right. So the third story is the 616, right? Just from 2099.
Yeah, it's 2099.
Right. So it's this, the future, 2099. Miguel O'Hara is in the middle of fighting Travesty. Is that correct?
Travesty. I thought it was Hulk with dreads.
Hulk with four arms and dreads. Yeah. Yep. So he's fighting Travesty, and then all of a sudden he gets sucked into Madam Web, a portal. And so he meets Madam Web on the rooftop of New York in modern day 616, current time. And the art is pretty cool. Like you said, it's who is it?
LaRocca, Sal. Sal LaRocca.
Yep. And she says, it's time to form the Spider Society. And then she kind of says, all right, well, here are your choices. And I thought this was interesting. He was like, well, obviously I want Aranya, but I'm going to need to think about everybody else. And he says, definitely not Spider-Ham. So I thought that was cool. I feel like we can rest assured that he's going to be picking Weapon 8 and probably the other people that we just saw or the other person, Spider-Bite, which isn't on this list. And so then Madam Web disappears and he is about to go back. He has to sleep on his plan. Who's he going to pick? And she disappears. And then he's about to go back to the portal, which I thought it was weird because he was about to go back right to the Travesty fight. And he didn't say anything about that. And then all of a sudden he gets attacked by what looks like the Sinister Six. It's just shadows, silhouettes, but like a Goblin and Kraven and Doc Ock, maybe even Mysterio. And basically they're like, all right, even the Spider Society can't stand against an army and we're going to take them out before they even get a chance to be formed. And then it says to be continued in Web of Spider-Man number one, which I'm pretty sure is a one shot. I don't think it's a new ongoing.
What did you think of this? Because this plays a little more into current continuity.
Well, okay. The art was good. It was what you would expect. I like the coloring and the inking and everything. I didn't like the original Spider-Verse. I like the movie. I didn't like the second movie. I don't like any of the comics. I don't like what they did to Moreland in the comic. So this is like, there's way too many Spider-Man characters. And like they said, oh, there's too many. But if we do the multiverse, then we can do as many as we want. And it doesn't mess up anything. It's too many. And I think it's a very squandered. I think the web, they could have done something so much better with the web. But like, just like, it becomes a team up book with no point.
Mm-hmm.
Because people who are infatuated with spider characters, and then they have to make new spider characters, and then because it's a multiverse and an infinite multiverse, they never run out of spider characters, and it really just cheapens everything.
Absolutely. It takes away the specialness of Peter Parker.
And really though, I mean, she even says something in here that says like, we need the best or something. I can't remember what it is. The Spider Society, and she's, everything's moving fast, we're out of time, something big is coming, I need the most powerful spider heroes. Well, Peter's not on this list. Like, you mean to tell me that, what?
I said, I know. What's up with that?
Now, I really don't want him involved in this. Like, I don't get him involved. I don't want a crossover. I don't want to read Peter going through all this kind of stuff. Like, that's not what I care about at all. I'm sad to see Miles here, and I'm sad to see Spider-Woman here. But, like, there's so much more and better things that they could be doing. But you mean to tell me, like, Peter's not on the list of the most powerful spider heroes? But Spider UK and Web Weaver are?
Yeah,
it's just dumb. Like, I think it's just fan service. I'm sad that they have such a good, talented artist on this book. I don't know if he's going to be sticking with Edge of Spider-Verse or anything like that. But you know, what are we doing? It says later we're going to be reunited with Spooky Man, Star Spider, Cyborg Spider-Man from, you know, Todd McFarlane's run on Spider-Man, Web Weaver, Spider-Woman across the Spider-Verse movie. So like, I don't like them mixing the cinematic stuff with the comics. I don't like that at all.
I don't either. And they always said that they wouldn't, that they don't influence one another. But you look, what's her name? Kat Dennings. She just appeared in the comic books. Darcy, her character just showed up. Like,
oh, really?
We just don't need it. We don't need her. We got other characters.
Yeah. Yeah. So your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, I think my thought is Madam Web came out and there was a bit of let's capitalize on this. And then it wasn't a good idea. Like anyone could have told Marvel, not a good idea. The movie's not going to be good. It looks terrible. It's a terrible premise. No one's going to go see that. They said, no, we got to get some content out there. And they gave us this. Let's just do, you know, scrub the title, scrub the last two stories, make this what if Spider-Man Earth 72 versus Weapon X or something, and make it 24 pages of that first story and just stretch that out. Give us one really good story as opposed to these two backups.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I agree.
And that's all I got to say about that.
Now, are we old fuddy-duddies? Is that what we are finding out or no?
I mean, I think some people will say, yeah, you know, like, this is, you know, comics are all about change and introducing new characters. And that's fine. I just enjoy my characters that I grew up with, and I want to see them kind of grow and evolve in a natural way. And instead of growing Peter Parker and his villains base and his supporting cast in a natural way, they said, let's just make everyone Spider-Man with all these different powers and run that into the ground, because there was a successful movie with the Spider-Verse. Because even with, like, you know, when way back in the day, even when, you know, Moreland was just getting the characters that had you know, spider powers and the spider totem, it wasn't thousands of Spider-Man characters, and the world made sense with, you know, just Spider-Man and I guess Spider-Ham and Miguel, and then we got Miles, and it was fine. Like, it was okay. There were these a couple derivatives of Spider-Man, if that makes sense. And then they just went bonkers with it. And I think it waters down the specialness, not only of Peter, but of characters like Miles too.
Yeah. I you probably didn't read what Nick Lowe, the Spider editor, wrote at the end.
No.
Okay. So welcome to the latest edition of The Edge of Spider-Verse. You probably thought that after our story called The End of the Spider-Verse, that our saga would be over. You thought wrong. There is no end in comics. Like, doesn't that just say it all?
You thought wrong.
Like, we said this was the end, but we think we can make more money, so we're going to keep going. Like, yeah. I really enjoy how you have your core titles, and then for your characters that are kind of on the peripheral that you don't want to have a long run, like, you could have, like, a 12-issue Blade run or something like that. But for some of the characters that can't carry their own books, then you have limited series, right? You do like a 6-issue series of Luke Cage or something. You know, for the people that, like, oh, that character's awesome, but I understand he can't carry his own book. So, like, then people, like, I'm thinking about sales numbers. That's what you want to do. How many, I mean, does this really sell more than taking, like, Moon Knight and doing a limited series with Moon Knight? Does this really sell more?
I could not believe that.
So it just seems like, why in the world would you be adding to the character list, the character roster, for no reason, that you're never going to use any of these again? And then you feel trapped because you're like, oh, we made these characters. If we don't use them again, then it's like we didn't do a good job with them and they're just not worth anything. So we have to at least use them a little bit more. Like, it says the return of Spider-Bite by co-creator Nyla Magruder.
Magruder.
I mean, it's the co-creator is coming and doing this, and it's just like, well, this character shouldn't have been created to begin with. Like, I don't know how much this is going to sound terrible, but I don't know how hard it is to come up with, like, a stupid character like that.
Wow.
Like, I don't know if I want to be known as the creator of Spider-Bite. You know,
I think it's one of those throw it against the wall and see if it sticks, because Miles stuck and people like Riri and people like Ms. Marvel. So if I can just get something, you know, let's see what happens.
Well, yeah, I guess. I don't know. All right. Enough of that. You want to move on to our last segment?
Yeah, we're going to be looking at some villains that have not appeared in the MCU. Am I correct?
Yes. Now, you may have to refresh my memory and be like, Andy, you're stupid. They have appeared in the MCU, and maybe I have forgotten. But so what? These are the top five villains that we would love to see in a movie.
Top five? I thought you said top 10.
Okay, top 10. You did your top 10?
I did. But mine are just as X heavy as yours is spider heavy.
Okay. Well, that's all right. So basically what happened is we planned that we would do our top five. And then I was like, man, all these guys are Spider-Man. I need to branch out. And so I started to do 10. And anyway, you did 10 as well.
If one of them is on the other person's list, we can say that. Because I think we'll have a couple overlaps.
Okay. Well, you think so?
Well, I'll go first. How about that?
Okay.
And this one has to be on your list. And if he's not, the podcast is over.
Again? There's no end in comics, Jared. You thought wrong.
Oh, I set you up for that, didn't I? That was great. Well, I mean, Marvel's main villain, Dr. Doom.
Dude, he is my number one on the list.
Okay. See, okay. It got me nervous there for a second, Andy. Everybody wants Dr. Doom.
That's really funny.
Yeah, I think he's everybody's most wanted. X-Men, Spider-Man characters, everybody wants to see Doom.
But, like, I would love to see Doom, like, not actually be defeated in a movie. I would like to see him, the head of state of Latveria. And, I mean, you can't just go in and take... I mean, this isn't Bendis' secret war. You can't just go in and do that unilaterally, right?
Yeah, he has to be able to do his thing and then claim diplomatic immunity or something right. Along those lines. We can't have him defeated or killed and just be like Gore or like Hela. No, this guy's got to come back like Loki and shows up often.
Yes, I agree. And then he has to be a consistent problem that they're like, what are we going to do? This is a real life problem. We can't just go in and do this. I mean, like Putin, right?
Yeah.
yeah. Okay. All right. My turn.
Yeah.
I mean, I did Dr. Doom. So Mephisto, I would like to see kind of the same thing. I don't want to see at the end of the movie, I don't want to see like a knockdown drag out, but more, I know this is going to be controversial, but more like an outwitting like they did with Dormammu. What do you think?
I mean, Mephisto is kind of demonic and satanic, so he's definitely not a character I feel like I need to see in the MCU.
Okay.
So that's why it surprised me a little bit.
I think it'd make for some very interesting storytelling. But I don't necessarily want him to be like, you know how they always pair up, like Iron Man has to fight somebody who's in an Iron Man suit and Venom has to fight Carnage or a different symbiote or whatever. I don't want that. I don't want Mephisto fighting Ghost Rider. I want Mephisto for some reason fighting like I haven't decided which character yet, but trying to outsmart, like, I mean, you know, One More Day or like that was a very interesting story. I know it's like, you know, very controversial, but something like that, make it a real reason why. Maybe it's Mephisto versus Loki or something like that.
Okay. I mean, there's a lot of talk that Sacha Baron Cohen has been cast as Mephisto and that he might be showing up in the Ironheart show.
Ironheart? Well, I mean, okay, not to be going against what I just said, but what does Ironheart have to do with Mephisto?
Yeah, I don't know. I would have assumed the Agatha show would have been a more appropriate place.
Well, maybe they're doing exactly what I just said. That would be amazing. But I would love to do it with an established character that would throw him for a loop and be like, what in the world is going on? You know, like maybe like I want my street level villains for Spider-Man. I do. I desperately do. But because of what Doctor Strange did with Spider-Man in No Way Home, maybe that caught the attention of, you know, sent ripples through, maybe the Multiverse of Madness, maybe what Wanda did, you know, is getting the attention of like Mephisto, like what's going on over here type of thing.
Okay. I could see that.
Yeah, okay. You don't sound convinced, but all right, that's fine.
No, I could. I'm tracking with you.
I can tell.
I am. All right. We got to, if we're going to see Doom, we got to see Marvel's number two, and that's Magneto. We got to see Magneto done right. And I think he would probably be even more comparable to Loki in that Loki was a Thor villain, and then he was an Avengers villain, and then he was a Thor ally, and then he was a ally villain, and then he got his own show and kind of towed the line. And I think that's how Magneto would need to be presented as well.
Okay. I like that. So you mean over multiple movies?
Yeah, there's some, I think Marvel's problem is they do all their villains one-offs. They can't figure out how to have the superheroes defeat them and still coexist, whether they're trapped, you know, in a jail or a prison or something like that. They just kill them off.
Yeah, I think you're right. That is, they do need to overcome that, I think. All right, I like that one, Magneto. I wrote it down.
He was not on your list?
No.
Wow, Andy.
Did you really think that we would have a ton of overlap?
Well, I guess I underestimate your taste.
Okay. you're nice to put it that way. All right, this one, Hobgoblin. Okay, I don't want a crazy goblin. I don't need somebody going out of their mind. I don't want somebody who's looking for revenge on Spider-Man. I want a criminal mastermind that tries to scare everybody. And like, I think Hobgoblin would be awesome. And I think that, you know, understanding, like, Spider-Man will have a hard time trying to understand what is this guy trying to do, but it turns out to be very, very easy, almost like Vulture was. But no, I am a criminal mastermind. I have a lot of, like, you don't know who it is. It could be this person. It could be this person. I think Hobgoblin would be cool.
I think that'd be a fun villain to see up against Spider-Man. That'd be great. I like that. My next pick would be our ever-loving Sentinels. We got to have them 20 to 30 feet high, though. No baby Sentinels. We got to have the big, real deal. I think they would just be a wonderful villain for an X-Men movie, and then have different iterations of them maybe pop up. You thought you destroyed the Sentinel lab, but there's more. There's a different kind. Oh, and then there's Nimrods, that kind of stuff.
So how would this be different than what we saw in Days of Future Past?
They were nothing like the animated Sentinels. You know, they didn't really think for themselves. They were like 15 feet. The Sentinels, do you remember in X-Men 3, they're in the danger room at the beginning, and all we see is a piece of the Sentinel come flying. We don't get to see the whole thing. That would be cool to see.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. I got it written down. Okay. Mine is kind of like your Magneto, I think. Vulcan,
really?
Yeah. I think after a long setup, like probably after four movies where you're talking about Cyclops and you're delving into him and then Alex, and you kind of have this backstory and kind of this, like, am I really the leader? Can I ever be the leader if I didn't have a father type of thing? And then it kind of is like, oh no, the third brother. I think that would be cool.
We would be in our early 60s, I think.
I'd still watch it.
I think that'd be awesome. I remember.
I don't think I would need the Shi'ar Empire. I think you could do it on Earth, but
I think that'd be fun. I'd watch that. I've got Mr. Sinister next on my list.
I knew he was going to show up for you.
Did he not show up for you?
He didn't, because I couldn't think of a way to do him right.
I think he just needs to be dark and creepy as can be. He needs to be sinister, basically. He needs to be in the shadows. We introduce him just, you see these red eyes. That's kind of how we see him introduced, like red eyes and a diamond on his forehead. He's lurking, like maybe the first or second movie, he's working behind the scenes and then makes himself known in the third. He is the way that Claremont originally brought him. He's not the goofy comedian, over the top sinister. He's the haunt your dreams sinister.
Yes, agreed. Not the like English Sebastian Shaw sinister.
No. And we will talk about, actually, spoiler alert, next week, actually a couple weeks now, I think that's going to be our retro review. We're going to look at some sinister stuff.
Nice. I look forward to that. Okay, mine, I kind of did these in backwards order. I didn't think about the order, but the Hood.
Well, he's supposed to be in Ironheart, actually.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's very interesting, because what I was what I was thinking is that the Hood could be defeated by Spider-Man, and then that could catch the attention of Mephisto and lead into that.
I think you might have just solved the case of Ironheart.
Okay. All right. All right.
That's cool, so, man.
Would you like to see the hood? I think they could do it very well in today's with today's technology and special effects.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I have a choice. He's going to be there.
So that's confirmed?
Yes, yes. Huh. The Mephisto thing is a rumor, but the hood is the villain for Ironheart.
Okay, well, I'm 10 times more interested now.
Good. You're on it, man. You can see what's happening. So I thought one that would kind of be off the wall and could really be fun in the vein of Werewolf by Night. Did you like Werewolf by Night?
I still haven't seen it.
And Elizabeth Ann.
I knew you were going to say some sort of girl name.
You have a 4-hour drive to Ohio this week. I think I know what's going to be playing in your van.
Okay. My family won't watch it with me. I don't know why. They think it's going to be scary. I told them it's not.
No. Jackie will drive, put the boys in the front seat. You sit in the back and watch.
Okay. All
right. Okay. Arcade. Arcade in Murder World would just be fun. It would just be so fun to see the X-Men for, you know, an hour and a half with all these different obstacles and mazes and trapdoors and all that stuff trying to make their way out of Murder World. Oh, man, that'd be so great.
Okay, all right. I would love to see
Werewolf by Night, and then you'll see what I'm talking about.
Okay, all right. Is he, why is it in Werewolf by Night? Like, why, what about it?
There's a similar premise to
okay. To that. Not to hijack what you were saying, but I think I would love to do the Peter David X Factor Only Game in Town arc about Murder World with the X Factor characters.
Okay, I'll take that. Really, I'll take anybody. We can have Ms. Marvel in there if we need to, but I think Arcade could be a lot of fun.
Okay, number six for me, Purple Man. Now, I know that he was, I don't know if you could do him better than what he was done in the, not Alias, what was it, Jessica Jones?
Yes.
But I would love to see that same character with the same actor. I would love to see him in the MCU with some of the Avengers. Like, I think it would be dark and gritty. I think it would be really cool. I don't know if the Avengers are too bright for him. Like, you know, not like smart, but I mean like the color scheme and everything. But I think that'd be pretty awesome.
Well, Disney has classified the Netflix shows as in continuity now with the MCU.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. Yeah. The jury's still out on how I feel about that. That's cool, but I would still love him to come back and like be in a movie, you know?
I think I'd want David Tennant to do it.
Yeah. I think it'd be awesome to see him against Daredevil.
Yes. Oh man, that'd be great. That'd be fun. All right. So Mikey Sutton said that this character was on the horizon for the X-Men movies. Way down the line, and we know that things change all the time, but Sauron would be a very interesting take should the X-Men visit the Savage Land to encounter an 8-foot pterodactyl man that can fly, he can hypnotize you, he can absorb your energy when he touches you in a land of dinosaurs. I think that would, it would be like, you know, Jurassic Park meets the X-Men. I think that could be a lot of fun.
You would like to see that? I don't think that's something I would want to see.
Well, I love Jurassic Park. I love those movies so much. The first go around, at least. And I think if they go with the, you know, Dr. Lykos, Carl Lykos, he is, you know, he's a tormented scientist, and he was he's crazy, and he got bit by a dinosaur in the Savage Land, and now he's got these powers. When he absorbs mutant energy, he turns into Sauron.
I think the first time I saw him was like Marvel Fanfare number one with Spider-Man or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a long time ago.
Yeah.
All right. I have Kane.
Really?
Yes, I don't want a ton of clones, but I feel like it's such an integral part of the story that you can't really get away from it. I think you have to touch it at least. And so I think what I would like to do is, if I was going to do a movie, you have a mysterious villain and then you have another mysterious character. And so I think it would be a Ben Reilly, Peter Parker team up movie with the villain being Kane. At the end, you would find out that Kane is a clone as well, but with a good resolution that would make it so that, okay, we have to live our separate lives. And so, like, you could always pull them back out if you needed to. but do not do it before the time is right. That type of thing.
Okay.
And I actually think it would be a cool way to make sure that your Spider-Man franchise continues, because it would not be popular, but after your character ages out a little bit, you could bring in Ben Reilly to assume the mantle of Spider-Man and go with that for a little while.
Yeah, I don't think that would be very popular.
No, it wouldn't. I like Ben Reilly. I'm a sucker.
Do you remember that Bebo Norman song, Audience of One?
I know who Bebo Norman is.
Okay. As soon as you said it wouldn't be very popular, that song jumped into my head.
Why? Because it's
an audience of one.
Just for me? This is for Andy.
Andy's alone in the theater by himself.
Okay. Cool. All right. Okay. Not super popular. All right. Okay.
We've got our preferences. I like Sauron, and you're like, I'm not even interested in Jurassic Park meets the X-Men, you know?
I just don't know if, like, it seems like a story that's like almost cliche, and you couldn't bring it to film. It was, I don't know.
Yeah. For a while, Marvel kind of excelled with that. That if there was something you didn't think they could do, they figured it out. Oh, that worked. That really worked. So maybe if they can get back to that. But we gotta get my girl Mystique. It could be very Winter Soldier vibey with who is she? Is she Mystique? Is it this person pitting people against each other? And I think she would also be another one that kind of lasts for a while. She's not a one-off. She could get in there with the Thunderbolts. She could really kind of work in a lot of the different corners of the MCU. She would be great.
I definitely agree. I think that is an excellent choice. And I think that you could do it really well. But I think that the way they use her as like a backup character is just a shame. She's not a backup. She doesn't have to be a backup character.
Mm-mm, not at all. She's proven herself to be up in the front with the big boys.
Okay. My last three. So let's go through this. I'll try to put these in order of what I would like to see the most as the last one. So Annihilus, I think, would be cool. The like annihilation wave type thing. I think if we got like a Guardians of the Galaxy and brought in Nova and kind of did that. And I think if you did Annihilation, that storyline, it could be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I can't argue with that one.
But not just like a bug, you know, like you can't be like, oh, he's a negative zone bug or whatever. It's like he needs to be a force to be reckoned with, like a leader amassing an army. You know, like some of mine are street level, but some of mine are like they have an army at their disposal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would be great. I'm down.
I am down.
I'm down for him, not for so much for Kane.
Okay.
Are you doing all three, or are we still going back and forth?
No, we'll still go back and forth. I was just mentally ordering mine.
Yeah, my big boy Juggernaut. He would just destroy, literally, the screen. It'd be great to see him and Colossus face off. We did get to see that a little bit in Deadpool. But to see an MCU proper with his red bands and connected to Charles Xavier, he could... I guess I also just watched the Unstoppable Juggernaut episode of X-Men the Animated Series for our retro recap series. So he's fresh in my mind. And I just love that episode so much. I would love to see him on the big screen.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting that you're picking people that have been on the big screen several times, like a couple different times before. So like what I'm hearing is like you want these done right.
Oh, yeah. I want my guys done right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. This is. I am so sorry, but I don't know this villain's name. When Mark Millar was writing Marvel Knights Spider-Man, there was like a Clark Kent character that was like an evil Superman. Do you remember this at all?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
It was like right before Reginald Hudlin took over the Marvel Knights Spider-Man title, I believe. And it was right before the other. So Spider-Man had to fight. Maybe I'm making this whole thing up in my head. I don't know. But I feel like Spider-Man had to fight and outsmart a Superman-like villain who worked at the Daily Bugle.
Okay. That's weird. I'm just, there's so many characters, and you picked one that you don't know his name.
I forgot his name, but I thought it would be awesome. I would love to see how Spider-Man thinks about and has to overcome that. How do you stop somebody with all that? Like, right now, in Spider-Man, like, nobody knows who he is. He's not part of the Avengers really anymore. He's got no help. How do you defeat somebody that powerful?
Well, you love Sentry. Why not just have him go up against Sentry?
Because Sentry's not a villain, Jared.
Oh, he's not? Does he not have something called the Void?
The Void is the villain. You know this. Don't mock me. Sentry's a good guy.
I don't know. It sounds like he's going to show up in Thunderbolts and might not be a good guy.
He very much, yeah, he's, this guy is very much like the Sentry. Yes. Yep. I gave up very quickly on that.
I don't know his name. I might be misremembering. This might not even be happened. I might have had a dream about it last night, but this is what I would like.
Is it bad? We can do anything we want. It's our podcast.
You can do Sentry. You could do Hyperion. You know, he's from the Marvel universe. Pick him. Or we could pick this rando.
I'm gonna look this up.
While you're doing that, I want to see Apocalypse done correctly. It was a travesty what was done to him in the Fox universe, and he needs to be done right.
I agree with that. So tell me, what would it take to be done right?
Just do what he was like in the comics, or what he was like on the cartoon. I'm not sure what this artistic license that they take with characters that are proven to be successful. There needs to be no license. Do what works. Just do that. It's super easy. He could be the Thanos character that builds, you know, over 10 different movies.
I think, how would you do his face and everything? Like, how would you make him more menacing than what he looked like?
Did you think he was menacing in the movie?
No. Not at all. He looked like a little stick, like, made of cotton candy.
Yeah. You gotta CGI that baby. Purple and blue and black and silver. About 8 feet tall, big old blue lips, cords hanging from his forearms to his back. He could probably do without the belt that has his A on it. Other than that, just do me a good Apocalypse.
The belt that has his A, yeah.
Who's your last one, Andy?
Okay, all right. Let me just say, okay, I looked this guy up, okay? I was wrong. It's not Mark Millar. It is Reginald Hudlin. It's from 2005. The penciler is Billy Tan, and his name is Ethan Edwards.
That's his superhero name?
No.
Did he get a superhero name?
I don't think so.
Oh. Come watch Spider-Man 6, where Spider-Man takes on Ethan Edwards.
Okay, whatever. Okay, let me read this, okay? Published July 20th, 2005. The neighborhood's got a new protector. He's bigger, stronger, and faster than Spidey. And even worse, he's hogging the front page of the Daily Bugle. I think it's great.
Yeah, I'm ready. When do tickets go on sale?
Okay, my number one.
Oh, okay, now, I wasn't counting down. I was just pick 10.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. Okay, this one has to be done right, okay? It cannot be connected to Spider-Verse. Moreland. And this is what I want to see. I want to see the desperation and the terror of somebody who does not tire, who will not stop, who has so much strength and so much tenacity and determination to just keep going until Spider-Man is just completely worn out and he has nothing left and he's on the phone, his costume is ripped up all the back and everything, and he's saying goodbye to somebody he loves. Now, right now in the MCU, he's got nobody he loves because nobody knows who he is and Aunt May's dead. But that's what I want to see. I want to see him fighting and fighting and fighting. You know that like little bit of desperation that we saw in the first Spider-Man movie with the Vulture where he's under, you know, he's in the parking garage and everything, mm-hmm. and he's freaking out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't need to see him freaking out, but I do want to see him come face to face with, like, I fought this many people. This may be it. Like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. He just will not stop. I have nothing left.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It would be amazing because then it's the ultimate everyman who is given everything he can and yet still is asked more of him, more sacrifice to make. And what can he do? Who can he turn to? I think you would have to pick a good theme and a good tone to it, but I would love to see it.
I agree. I would definitely like to see that. Yeah. Maybe Straczynski could come in and help with that movie.
That would be great. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. My last one is the cold-blooded killer Sabretooth. He could probably just be in a Wolverine solo movie or bring in parts of the Mutant Massacre and have him kill some Morlocks or something like that. But I think if they would have continued with how he was interpreted in the first X-Men movie and kind of fleshed him out for X-Men 2 and 3, maybe we would have got that bloodthirsty, long, blonde Sabretooth. But they just took a little bit of a different direction with that. So, Sabretooth.
Now, would he be fighting all the X-Men, or would he just be fighting Wolverine?
Yeah, I think he could probably do a Wolverine solo movie. But, I mean, he's tough. He could definitely take on the X-Men.
Right on. I definitely see where you where you were coming from here. So, like, one of the only ones that's not is Doom, right? Is Sauron, is Sauron historically an X-Men villain?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Well, nice, man. Good list. every episode, we're one inch closer to having Disney reach out to us and be like, hey, you know, you guys got some good ideas.
It's true. We're right under Joe Rogan.
Well, yes, this is the M6P. Thank you for tuning in. Again, our contact information, you can email us the M6 or M6PLOC@gmail.com. You can go to our website, TheM6P.com, and you can call us, leave a message. We'll put it on the air. We'll play it 616-755-TINA.
You can check us out on all the socials, Insta, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. Just look up the M6P and we will answer.
And again, check out our sponsors. We got crpsavings.com. That's Community Retail Partnership. We have The Marvelous Box and we have Michael Webb Solutions. So make sure you check those guys out. They help us out tremendously. They saved us a ton of money. And Michael Webb Solutions has done wonders for our fan base, our website, our Facebook. So check them out. All right, man. Anything else before we hang it up?
No, we are good.
Okay. Well, until next time, this is the M6P.